It seems like it's been quite a while, and so we're glad to be here and share this morning. There's two this morning. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 15. This message has some correlation to this morning's Sunday school lesson. This morning's Sunday school lesson was about leadership, making a mistake, not doing it right, and God's judgment and direction on that. Here is a story of the Good Shepherd. Here is the story that Jesus told. It's a parable. And this shepherd did it right. This leader did it right. And I'd like us to think about this. The title of this morning's message is Lessons from Our Chief Shepherd. And it doesn't use the term chief shepherd here, but in the epistles, talks about Jesus being the chief shepherd and we as leaders being under shepherds. Luke chapter 15, I'd like to read verses 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The context here is the scribes and Pharisees murmuring at Jesus for reaching out to sinners, for reaching out to people who needed spiritual help. And Jesus, in this parable, he says, he turns to a natural example and a practical question in verse 4. He says, What man of you? So here's this spiritual situation, this situation where they're murmuring that Jesus is spending time with publicans and sinners. And he's eating with them. And Jesus said, All right, what man of you? Turn this to a story that you can understand. Picture yourself a shepherd. How would this work? And he tells this little story. And so Jesus in this parable basically was saying, test your mission efforts with your natural business pursuit. That's what he was doing. He was saying, test how you think about reaching out to lost souls with some comparison to what you do with the sheep that you raise for a living. How does it stack up? How does it stack up? What would you do if you had a literal sheep that was lost? How much effort would you put forth to get it back? And so he took their minds to their livelihood and made some comparisons. Now, I think perhaps I shared this here some time ago, but I've been paying a little attention or did a little bit of checking some statistics, the ones that I could get my hands on, as to the, do you want to call it the success rate or the loss rate in our conservative Mennonite churches? How many of our children growing up, how many of the people who come to our churches, how many of them lose the faith? I'm not talking about just going to another church. I'm talking about walking out on God. Or maybe going to a church where non-resistance, non-conformity, some of those cardinal doctrines are missing. What's the loss rate? And it seems to me it's fairly common to find about a 20% loss rate. You look at groups of people, and I wish I had some help from a larger, broader perspective. Although I heard another man from a beachy setting talk about the same thing, and he put the percentage just a little higher than 20%. So that means one in five. One in five. So fathers, this morning, you look at the bench. Mothers, you look at the little ones sitting on the bench. You go down a line of five, and then you say, which one will we lose to the world? Which one are you willing to lose to the world? Which one are you willing to lose to Satan's kingdom? See, Jesus said, okay, just think about this with your sheep. You have five sheep. You're willing to lose one? In fact, I raised this question in another congregation that has some chicken farmers. Is a 20% mortality rate, can you keep a chicken contract? Does that work? Chicken farmer there told me that no way. 3 to 5% is, if you could go beyond that, you fall into question what's going on. 20% mortality rate, is that okay? Are we okay with that? And what can we do about it? And I wrestle with that question. I believe this morning, while this message, as we think about the chief shepherd, this is not just about preachers at church, although they are shepherds. This is also about fathers and mothers who are shepherds. And it's about school teachers who are shepherds. You think about children growing up in our midst. Fathers and mothers are shepherds, number one. And then there's the influence from school and school teachers, and then there's the church and pastors, and all of that must, all of that is part of what God wants the shepherding to go on of the souls that he's brought to us. And what can we do to improve that loss rate? And what happens when one steps out? What do we do? Well, Jesus often sat at meat with converted sinners. But Jesus also reached out to the unconverted. Jesus stopped by the tree and talked to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a heart turned to him, but Zacchaeus still needed the Lord. And Jesus said, I'm going to your house. Jesus, well, sometimes people use passages like this to justify spending time, for example, at the bar with ungodly people, because Jesus sat with sinners and publicans. I believe if you go to Mark's account, Mark chapter 2, it says that many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Many times when the scripture says he sat with publicans and sinners, they were ones who were following him, who were drinking the word, who had received him, who had accepted him as Messiah. Jesus, and I think we need to be careful this morning. We need to think about what we're doing. There are times when we reach out to the unconverted, and there are occasions where we sit down with them. But too much fellowship with the ungodly and their works, we need to ask the question, what's happening? Which way is the influence going? Is the friendship to minister to that person, or am I being ministered to? Am I picking up the ways? What testimony is it leaving in this relationship? I believe that when you saw Jesus sit down with publicans and sinners, everyone knew what he was doing, what the goal was, and which way the teaching was going. I think that needs to be something that we think about as we think about reaching out. But it does take time. It does take meeting with people who are, well, we heard this morning about diversity. There are times we eat a meal with folks who make meals differently than we make meals. That's part of this being a shepherd. And our Pennsylvania Dutch culture is not the only right way to make a meal. There are some strange ways to make meals, and they actually can be good if you learn to like them. One of the things I noticed from this story this morning is that sheep need a shepherd to care for them. Sheep need a shepherd. I don't know how many of you have raised sheep. I grew up at home. My parents raised goats. We never raised sheep. We had goats. And the spring of the year, as it was time for the goats to have their young ones. Sometimes it was very common. We'd come home from church Sunday morning, look out across the pasture, and there's two or three kids up and running with their mother, born while we were at church, without a lick of help, up taking care of themselves, the mother taking care of them, and this would happen repeatedly. In fact, sometimes we had to pay attention to make sure we knew who was the mother and which ones had freshened, and because they took care of themselves. When I was about 16, I helped a man in upstate New York, Croghan, New York area, Crystal Light Congregation. I helped him on a dairy farm, spent a couple months there. He had surgery on his knee, and it was winter going into spring, and he also had some sheep, and it was lambing time. And I had to go out in the middle of the night and check up on these dumb sheep, and these sheep needed help. And these lambs would be born, and they couldn't find their mother to get milk. I had to help them, and I'd get a hold of them, and I'd try to help them, and they would bawl and pull back, I was tired, and it was cold, and it was late, and this sheep was fighting me. This little lamb didn't want to cooperate, and inside me something said, well, then just go ahead and die. Why should I have to help you being so dumb? And I made up my mind I wouldn't raise sheep. I never raised sheep, and I haven't raised sheep since. I thought about that when I thought about this story, because there's sometimes in our spiritual journey as shepherds, sometimes something within the heart sounds too much like that. Something within my heart sounds too close to that. And there's a challenge in that. It seems like they're not very smart. They have very little ability to see what's ahead. And they're helpless in the face of danger. They easily get lost. Their perception of location and direction is so lacking. Now, maybe somebody raises sheep here and has a better opinion of sheep. But that seems to me that's what I saw in those sheep. But people are much the same. I am much the same. To know God and His heart is not natural for us. We so easily go astray. We are so blind to what's just ahead and what this will lead to. And we fall into danger so quickly. We are so much like sheep. It's so hard for us to see what's ahead and the consequences. Well, there's a number of points I'd like to think about from this story. The first point from this story, I'd like to think about the word accounting. Accounting. This shepherd knew how to account for his sheep. This shepherd, as he came to the close of the day, often what would happen, they would have a facility. They'd have a sheepfold. They'd have a place with four walls around it, often rock walls high enough that would provide some shelter from wolves and those kind of things. And a shepherd would bring his sheep home from the day of grazing, and there he would run them into the fold, and he would count them. I'm told that many of them would hold their rod over the doorway, and as the sheep passed by, he would count them going into the fold. And he counted his 100 sheep, and he got to the end, and there was 99. Listen, he has all of the 99. He's only missing one. Sometimes we get in the van to go away, and we do this thing. Are all the children here? Did everybody get in? Because we have this, we've had this problem already of starting out and leaving one behind. And it tears at a parent's heart to realize that we drove off without one of our children. And that's how this shepherd, as he counted these sheep, he accounted for them, and he gets to the end and his heart sinks and he says, there's one missing. There was an awareness. There was a perception of need, an awareness that one was lost. His heart went out to him. The shepherd knows the value of one sheep. He knows that value. He had all the 99, but he wanted to do something for that one and to recover that one. With ministry among people, having seen that business side, the shepherd with his sheep. Let's move over to the spiritual side. With ministry among people, there are Every soul is valuable. There are none that are too bad for God. Everyone is worth the effort to bring into the sheepfold. And this shepherd did this accounting. He did this looking at his sheep, perhaps calling them all by name as they entered. I'm not sure, it doesn't say that. And he realizes this one was lost. Which one do you think was lost? Is it generally the biggest and strongest and wisest sheep that gets lost? Or is it the most scatterbrained and weak and silly? That's often the one that gets lost. Oh, the one that's worth the least, perhaps. No, the shepherd didn't look at it that way. As he counted those sheep, one was missing. Perhaps within his mind flashed this thing, oh, I just knew that one would be lost one day. I've worked with that sheep every day, and that's the one that gives me as much trouble. You know how that is with cattle. And if it's going to happen to one, you about know which one it's going to happen to, because they get a name for themselves. It's a little bit that way with people, isn't it? But the shepherd didn't look at it that way. He didn't say, oh, well, maybe they'll learn. Just let this one out there tonight. Maybe we'll find it tomorrow. In our place of business there at Jonestown Ag, we sell and install backup cameras. You can put this screen on your dash, and you can put a camera behind your vehicle for backing up. And in our area, we have a lot of horse farms and horse haulers. And one of the things that we commonly do is install those cameras in horse trailers. They often want one or two or three cameras in that trailer. Some haulers there that haul show horses from Florida to Pennsylvania or to the New England states. And those haulers, they want to keep an eye on their horse while they're driving, or their horses. Talked to one the other day, was talking about hauling show horses, and he told me how many $1,000 show horse, and I forget, but it was, if you have three horses in your trailer, you got precious cargo. And he told me, he said, I am terribly nervous when I can't see my horses. When I'm driving, I've got to see my horses. Because he watches for signs of a horse in need. And he said this, he said, when you're hauling, all kinds of things happen. You slam on the brakes and then you wonder, how are the horses making out? And you can't see. He said, you can't be stopping all the time. He wanted a camera. You know what? Life is that way. Sometimes you slam on the brakes. Sometimes things come along. There's potholes. Where are the horses? You see, that was a shepherd. No, he wasn't working with sheep. He was working with horses. And he wanted to be able to keep his eye on the horses from Florida to Pennsylvania the whole time. And I wondered about this with daddies and mamas. Maybe part of the reason that we lose some is because we don't keep our eye on the children. I'm just talking about this awareness of what they're doing and where they're at. It's awareness of where they are with friends. You know, this happens even with families at home. We visit in our homes and children are off somewhere visiting in a corner. I remember when I was a boy, my dad would come around and check up on us numerous times. And it used to wonder me, what's wrong with my dad? But I know why my dad checked up on us. I know why. And you do too. There's something about being a shepherd that takes this awareness, it takes this watching, it takes an understanding of what does a sick sheep look like? What does a horse in distress look like? And when you see that, you need to tend to that. What can you do to alleviate that? So this accounting, because everyone is worth the effort. The second thing that I'd like to think about from this story is the search. When this shepherd realized that one was lost, he started the search. He went out into the dark and cold. He went out where there was danger. Yes, there were lions he could face. He didn't have a pistol to take on his belt or a long rifle to take with him. He went out in the dark and face some personal danger for the sake of his sheep. This was a quest for reconciliation of the lost to the fold. And I believe this shepherd understood some common places where sheep can go astray. He understood, as he thought about their path for that day, perhaps his mind went to a difficult spot. Perhaps his mind went to a place where he had the hardest time keeping them all together. And he said, I wonder, there's an easy spot for a sheep to get lost. He probably went looking there first. What are we doing to search for lost sheep? Do we love lost sheep? How much effort are we putting into the rescue? How much are we aware of common danger spots where sheep are lost spiritually? How much are we aware of where the wolves lurk and the lions roar? How much do we think about how close we are walking to a cliff that's so easy for the young and tender ones to fall over that cliff? The other day we had our grandson at our house, and it was chilly enough. I started the wood stove in the basement. And then we have some of the toys down in the basement, and the children were taking him to the basement. And immediately I thought about the fact that this little boy's growing up in a house where there's not a wood stove. And Grandpa has a wood stove. And if somebody doesn't shepherd him, something bad will happen. Now that's on a natural sense. Do we think about that spiritually? Here goes my son. Here goes my daughter. Here is this workplace. And the drywallers come and they have this radio playing. And do we think about that? Those are places that hearts are lost at sometimes. And shepherds need to think about that. We can't always avoid those spots. We can't always pull back that none of that ever happens. Shepherds take sheep out through places where there's serpents. They can't always stay away from it. Jesus prayed that God would not take the sheep out of this wilderness, but that he would keep them in this wilderness. You understand the connection? But shepherds need to think about those spots. Need to walk with the sheep in those spots. Do we have an understanding of how to help lost souls? Do we have an understanding of what to do to make a difference in their lives? Now, I know that each individual has a choice, and there's so many times I wish I could make that choice for someone, but you can't. But there are things you can do in reaching out. There's things you can... What can you do to reach that soul? How about the ones that are clueless of the gospel story? Do you understand some way of sharing the gospel to those who've never heard? How do you get started? What do you do? How do you help folks that profess Christianity but need discipleship? That's a little different class of sheep that need some help. There's this profession of godliness and knowing God, but so much is lacking in biblical obedience. How do we relate to that? How about people from other religions and beliefs? Do we understand that? Do we really care this morning? Do we really have the heart of the chief shepherd who wants all sheep saved? And are we actively endeavoring to do what we can for those that are in our path? And you don't have to go to New York City to be a shepherd. You can go to Carlisle. You can go home. You can walk around the block this afternoon for exercise on a nice Sunday afternoon, and you can meet your neighbor and you can do that shepherding. You really can. It needs to be done. It needs to be done every place that we go. So the search. The search. The third thing that I'd like us to think about is the sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice of this shepherd. You know, the shepherd brought his sheep back at the end of the day. And if all went well, he would put them in the sheepfold, and then what? It'd be his time for some relaxation. It'd be his time for some recovery. It'd be his time for some family time. Because he took the sheep out, they grazed, he did that part of the work, he brought them back and he put them away, and now it's some me time for the shepherd. And he discovers a sheep is missing. And it doesn't seem like he winces one bit to give up me time for a lost sheep. Sacrifice. He lost some sleep, some rest, no doubt. And remember, it's highly possible that it was not his fault that this sheep was lost. We don't have the details of that day. We don't have the details of what the shepherd was doing, but this is a good shepherd who did a good job. In fact, if 99 made it, why couldn't that other one make it too? Isn't that how we think sometimes? Well, the rest of them, none of the rest of them got lost. What's wrong with that one dumb sheep? But sacrifice. His feet were probably tired and sore. He walked the day. He did his job. He was possibly cold from the night wind. And he needed to warm up or he's going to get sick. But he went out into the cold. He went. Why? Because he loved that lost sheep. Did he have a family he wanted to stay home with? I don't know. But he went. He went. And then, when he found this sheep, he didn't just get a hold of this sheep and drag it by the tail. No, he got this sheep and he put it on his shoulder. This tired shepherd now carried this sheep home. I don't know exactly how that was done, but I have this picture of the sheep around the neck and the shepherd maybe holding the two front feet, two back feet, carrying it home. Do you think that shepherd was pinching the sheep on the way home? You dumb sheep, you make me work. This is so, I'm tired, I'm missing out. Do you think he was muttering? No. No, he got home. He's rejoicing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He didn't slap the face of this sheep and mutter angry words. He was compassionate even when his sheep was flat wrong. When his sheep was the one who was carnal. His sheep was the one who had cost all of this. He could have looked and said, this is unfair that I have to be so far away from the 99 just for this one. How dare you demand so much of my time when there's 99 who made it? He didn't do that. Fathers, mothers, preachers, school teachers, you get the connection. You ever hear self-talk in your own heart that sounds like a frustrated shepherd wondering why the sheep had to go wrong. Sacrifice. Ministry among people requires personal sacrifice. It really does. We must be able to connect with other people's needs and views. We must be able to connect with sheep. We must be able to understand sheep. We must be able to do something more than I did when I was 16 relating to those sheep. I had a favorite. I liked goats because they took care of themselves. But sheep. We must love sheep. We must be willing to sacrifice. Able to connect with them. We need sensitivity to other people's realities. Other people are going through something. Brother Lowell will go through surgery. I haven't gone through surgery like that. There's others struggling with physical needs. There's others in financial difficulties. And there's this diversity that of things that people are facing. And as shepherds, we need to connect with them. As parents, we have children whose personalities vary greatly. Some are happy-go-lucky and nothing gets them down. Some are serious and sober. Some have very tender feelings. Some we can really connect with and others seem maybe harder to relate to. You ever find that? But a shepherd must be able to connect with the sheep. He must be able to understand. He must be able to, and it will take some sacrifice. It'll take some time away from our hobby to connect. It'll take some time away from something that I really wanted to do to minister. I believe that with shepherds, it was a common thing to discover at the end of the day a sheep was lost. That's the most inconvenient time to discover it. You know that? It'd be nicer to discover it at lunchtime and fix the problem early in the day while we're still out there in the field. But I believe it was common for them to discover it at the end of the day. the most inconvenient time, and then it called for sacrifice. It seems to me that ministry among people, sometimes we discover the need at the most inconvenient time. We sometimes discover the need when of all things, I was going to do this on Saturday, and you get this call, or you discover this need. It calls for sacrifice. Well, why couldn't it wait till Sunday, or why couldn't? It's the way it is. It's the way it is with our children. Have you ever had a child get up in the middle of the night and they have a physical affliction and, oh, you just wish it were daytime. It'd be so much easier to see the doctor and whatever. But here you are. It's 1 o'clock in the morning and it seems like something really, really bad. What shall we do? What shall we do? We had a couple children that struggled with asthma and get up in the middle of the night and couldn't breathe. And that's a scary thing for parents. So off to the emergency room you go, and you're tired, but you do it willingly because you love the child, right? You don't think about being tired. When you realize there's a physical need like that, suddenly adrenaline can kick in and you can go. I can, as a dad, I can go. Because it's my own children. Sometimes it's harder when it's somebody in the church that I don't love like I should. It is harder. Why? Why tonight? Why must this mess up this plan? Why must this sacrifice? A good shepherd is willing to sacrifice because, first of all, he loves. Well, ministry among people requires sacrifice. What do I do with my opinions, my feelings, my viewpoints as I minister among people? Can I connect? Can I hear them? Can I really understand where they're coming from? Or is it all about me and what I think? How do I speak to needy people in the church? What do I do with their faults, their needs? How do I point it out? How do I show them? What do I do with it? Where do I go with it? Who all do I talk to about this need? Am I patient and forbearing? So some questions that we need to think about as we minister among people. Don't forget, it will take sacrifice. Number four is this point of rejoicing. As this shepherd comes back, you see him gathering his friends. He gathers them and says, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me." He loves fellowship with others. And he throws this party, as it were. He says, come and let's rejoice together. I found this lost sheep. And he's rejoicing about this one bad sheep that had gone astray, rejoicing that the sheep is returned. He didn't throw the party for the 99. He threw it for the one. For the reality that this one is saved. Now, don't get me wrong. The shepherd loved the 99 sheep in the fold, because if one of them were lost the next day, he'd do the same thing for them. But the focus is on the fact, Jesus said that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The focus is on the fact that the shepherd wants all men saved, and when one is lost, that's where the efforts are. No, he didn't jeopardize the 99 and let them out under the dark. He put them in the sheepfold. He did care about them as well. But he rejoices in this one that's returned. And Jesus said that there's joy in heaven over one returned over 99 just persons. Where was the joy on earth when Jesus was saving these sinners? How comes the Pharisees and scribes, the religious men, are murmuring on earth when heaven is rejoicing in this story, in this parable? Heaven is rejoicing that publicans and sinners are sitting with Jesus and hearing and following him. Heaven is rejoicing, but scribes and Pharisees are murmuring. That's what Jesus was doing with this story, was showing them something's wrong because heaven is rejoicing and you are murmuring. You have something other than the heart of the Father if you're murmuring when sinners are repenting. What values did the scribes and Pharisees have? What was their focus? Perhaps we fall into the feeling of the scribes and Pharisees too much. Perhaps that would be a message in itself. But there was this rejoicing. this rejoicing about this returned sheep, the attitude of joy. What do you think the shepherd talked about at this gathering? As they rejoiced over this lost sheep, do you think the shepherd enumerated all of the sacrifice? Do you think he showed the scratches in his hand from the thorns? Do you think he showed the blisters on his feet? Do you think he tried to impress them how much he sacrificed for the sheep? I don't think so. The story doesn't tell us what all the shepherd did at that. But the shepherd was rejoicing that the sheep is saved. I know it's a temptation in my own experience to talk about the cost, to talk about what I had to go through, to talk about the scratches in my hand and pity me type. I don't think that shepherd did that. I think the shepherd rejoiced, talked about the value of this sheep, talked about the joy that a returned sheep is. The focus was on the blessedness of saved sheep, not on the sacrifice of the shepherd. I want us to think about that this morning. As we, whether it's parents or whether it's school teachers or whether it's preachers or whether it's whatever ministry, you know, I believe that all of us as the 90 and 9 are called to the ministry of finding lost sheep. And it's about the joy of saved sheep, not about what it costs me. Not about the mouths that I put on. It's about the joy of lost sheep returned to the fold. That's what it's about. And the glory that goes to the Father, the chief shepherd, the one who has made this plan of salvation available, that lost sheep, spiritually lost souls, can return to the fold. Well, number 5, I'd like to think a little bit about the main purpose of Jesus. If you look here in Luke 15, verse 1, notice what it says. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to have a good meal. They drew near to criticize Jesus. No, they drew near to hear him. They drew near to hear him. That's why I say these were repenting sinners. These were sinners with hearts turned. These were not hard sinners continuing on in their way and wanting nothing to do with righteousness. And Jesus sat down with those who turned their gaze toward him. No, they had a long way to go yet. They needed a lot of teaching. They needed to understand there was a long way to go, but they turned their gaze toward him. Teaching and instructing was his main purpose among men. As you watch Jesus ministering, yes, he healed. Yes, he fed the 5,000, but he's constantly teaching. He's constantly talking. He's telling stories. He's illustrating truth. He's teaching. That was the main purpose of Jesus. To help mortal men and women understand the Father and the plan of God and the purpose of the Father. That's the main purpose of Jesus. Yes, there always is a social side to ministry. There is. We can't get away from that. There's a social side to it. But the largest question that we should answer is, but what have we communicated in what we're doing? In this visit that I had with my neighbor, what have I communicated? Even if it's just a little, what have I communicated? What words of truth? What explanation of the Father? What have I communicated? I sat down with coffee with this person. What did they learn? What were they challenged with? What was communicated? That's the question that we need to think about. Have we shared the gospel story? And this is one that I think we should think about. I think we take for granted pretty quickly that so many people know the gospel story. And, you know, we live in areas where there's lots of churches and lots of people who confess Christianity. But let's never be shy about telling the gospel story of the blood of Jesus that takes away the sin of the world. Because some right in these parts of the country maybe never heard. And they wonder, how does this work? And they don't understand. They don't understand the starting point. They don't understand the foundation of all of this. You know, if they do understand that, it doesn't hurt to hear the salvation story, simple and plain, another time. In fact, if they do know it and have it, received Jesus Christ, it will warm their heart one more time. If they know the story and they haven't yielded to Christ, it's one more time to say you need to yield. And so it doesn't matter where they are in the journey, it's a good thing to share the gospel story. We can't go wrong with sharing the gospel story. Well, the Great Commission tells us to go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, yes. And that's, we like to see membership and we want to move toward baptism. But don't forget, the Great Commission says teaching twice. Go ye therefore and teach, and then teaching them to observe all things. We go wrong, churches go wrong, when we go light on teaching and heavy push toward getting them into membership. Let's keep teaching where it belongs to be. Services and worship times, where the word is explained, and times when we sit down and share with them, teaching, talking about truths from the word of God, what God wants for us, because that was the purpose of Jesus, to teach. The last point is the reward. The reward. You think about this story. This shepherd came to the end of the day and he was minus one. And he went out into the cold, out into the dark, out into the dangers. And he brought back this lost sheep. And there was joy because now he has 100. Now he has 100. He has them all. You know, Jesus said that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that every person in this county would know the Lord and be ready for the rapture. How many are missing from the fold in this county? Is it just one? Yes, many. That's the way it is in all of our counties. Many are missing from the fold. But the reward of the shepherd, the reward of going out, and the reward, the happiness that comes with one more sheep in the fold. One more sheep, to God be the glory. Brings peace in our hearts when we have done all we can do to bring in lost sheep. Brings joy in our heart when we see. Brings joy in our heart when we see our children choosing Christ and his kingdom. It's tremendous rejoicing of parents. Tremendous sorrow when we see children walk out on God. It's like a dagger through our hearts. And it hurts and it keeps on hurting because we're missing them. And so the reward. That shepherd, I believe, could sleep much better later that night when he had recovered that last one than he could have going to bed with one missing. You know, the moment he realized that sheep was missing, he had to make a choice. Will I go or will I just go to bed? He could have gone to bed. He could have gone home, gone to bed. But if he's a good shepherd that loves sheep, he couldn't have slept very well. But instead, he went out into the dark and he found that sheep and he brought him home. And he has this rejoicing and he goes to bed happy, knowing that all is well. The reward. Well, I believe the greatest reward for shepherds, for all of us who are laboring to help sheep, the greatest reward will be to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." If Jesus gave his life for the sheep, if Jesus is the good shepherd who doesn't want any of them lost, and that's the heart of the Father, then one of the ways to hear the "well done" is to be like the Father and reaching out to lost sheep. And I just can't imagine what that'll be like to realize that earth life is behind and heaven is our home, and the Master, God, says, well done, well done. Well, there was a monetary reward for this shepherd. In a physical sense, there was a monetary reward to have another sheep in his flock, another sheep for raising and for, just what shepherds do. But way beyond that, in a spiritual sense, is the reward of souls in the kingdom. And you can't put a price tag on that. Can't put a price tag on that. So may the Lord inspire our hearts this morning to get out and do, be about serving. May the Lord help us to realize that joy. You know, this morning, our children were sending us messages, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. I said, 29 years ago, the day was about me and my wife and the joys of married life. And that's right. 29 years later, it's preached this morning at Blue Ridge and preached tonight at Swatara. I told him, 29 years ago, it was about my wife and I. Today, it's about kingdom work, happily married. And those two things don't have to be so much competition. You can be good shepherds and good fathers and husbands and wives, and can put those two together in God's kingdom. May the Lord help us this morning how to understand how to do that, to be all that He wants us to be, sacrificing for His kingdom, and yet not sacrificing the values of home and family and relationships on a local level. Shall we kneel?